Now, in the course of a talk, in the course of some hour or hour and 15 minutes, it won't be possible for me to exhaust this subject of fidelity. It won't even be possible for me to treat it very systematically. All that I want to do this evening is to offer for your consideration some ideas that have occurred to me recently, taking as my point of departure, so to speak, the incidents to which I've referred. As I've been thinking over this subject of fidelity, it has seemed to me more and more that fidelity is really quite an important quality, quite an important human quality. In fact, I've been coming to the conclusion little by little that fidelity is one of the qualities of the true individual, or of one who is trying to become a true individual, trying to become, that is to say, a truly human being. Most of you, well, all of you, I think, will be well aware that this concept of individuality, of true individuality, is absolutely central to the spiritual life, at least to the earlier stages of the spiritual life. And in the FWBO, right from the beginning, we've been very much concerned with this particular concept of individuality, or true individuality. And we've been concerned, therefore, with those qualities, those characteristics, which are qualities or characteristics of the individual. Those of you who've been with us a long time, those of you who've been involved in the FWBO for 12, 13, 14 years, will remember that to begin with, we saw that the individual was aware, even that the individual was one who was aware, one who was self-conscious. You may remember that we saw in some very early lectures of mine that the individual was one who was aware of self, that is to say, aware of the physical body, its position, its movements, aware also of emotions, whether positive or negative, and so on, and aware also of thoughts, aware of ideas, concepts, reflections, reasonings, and so on. So this was awareness of self. And then the individual, the true individual, was one who was at the same time aware of nature, aware of his or her material surroundings, aware of the environment. And then thirdly, the individual was one who was aware of other people, other human beings, other individuals. And fourthly, and lastly, the individual, the true individual, was one who was aware, however distantly, of reality itself. Thus, in this way, we spoke of these four different kinds of awareness. We called them dimensions of awareness. Awareness of self, of nature, of other people, and of reality. So the individual was one who was aware. But at the same time, we saw that the individual was more than just one who was aware. The awareness of the individual was more than just an awareness. The individual was aware of being aware, so that the awareness that characterizes the individual is what we call a reflexive awareness. The individual is self-conscious, not in the ordinary colloquial sense, but in the sense in which self-consciousness is tantamount to reflexive consciousness or reflexive awareness. Now, this is all very familiar ground, or at least it should be very familiar ground. So I've covered it very, very rapidly. I don't want to spend much time going over it. But in this way we saw, at the very beginning, that the individual was aware. The individual had self-awareness, self-consciousness, or reflexive consciousness. We also saw that the individual, the true individual, was emotionally positive. That he was characterized by emotions of friendliness, compassion, joy, faith, devotion. And later on, perhaps, even a few years later, we saw, as our understanding of the nature of individuality grew and developed, we saw that the individual was responsible. He was aware that actions had consequences. He was aware that he was responsible for his actions and therefore responsible for the consequences of his actions. We saw too that the individual was sensitive, independent or autonomous, and receptive. And more recently, we've come to see that the individual is characterized by imagination. And in this way, little by little, year by year, our list of qualities of the individual, our list of characteristics of the individual, the true individual, has increased. So that it's now quite a long list. There are several qualities, in fact, that I haven't mentioned. While I was preparing this talk, while I was thinking about this talk, I just jotted down all the qualities or characteristics that I thought could be described as qualities or characteristics of the individual. There were altogether about 20 of them. So clearly, there are quite a few that I haven't mentioned, but which it isn't necessary on this occasion to mention. Now, these qualities or characteristics of the individual, of the true individual, are not mere attributes of individuality. They're not something, so to speak, external to it in the sense of having been added onto it from the outside. These qualities, these characteristics represent different aspects, even different dimensions of individuality itself. And our list of qualities or characteristics of the individual is increasing because our understanding of the nature of individuality is gradually deepening. And now, on this occasion, is deepening, or broadening if you like, to include what I've chosen to term fidelity. Fidelity is a quality or characteristic of the individual.